260 Dugout Podcast is sponsored by McMahon's Best One Auto, GSP Hitting, and Old Fort Baseball Company.
Yeah. DC. Turn the lights on the diamond. Man. This that 260 Dugout. Mic up, DC in the chair, talking for Wayne Dirt. Red clay in the air, from the sandlot days. Scrape knees, hand-me-down gloves to park few nights. Packed seats, hometown love, Summer City Sluggers. Little homies with a dream. Right. Little league lines, chalk bright, fresh seams. Ask the guests how it started, how they carried the doubt. Now they legends in the making on the 260 Dugout. Yeah, it's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cow, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 Dugout.
Say it.
260 Dugout.
Louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout. Park View Field, see the 10 caps play. Sunset sitting on the third baseline all day. Cold drink, crowd buzz, first pitch in the dirt. Whole city in the stands, rocking same logo shirts. DC talking with the voices that we grew up around. Ground crew to the coaches that protected the mound. If you ever felt that pressure with two strikes and two out, you already know the feeling of the 260 Dugout. Yeah, it's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 Dugout.
Say it. Yeah.
260 Dugout.
Louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout.
From the backstop fence to the radio waves.
Radio waves.
Every small town spark, every big league craze.
Big league craze.
If you ever caught hope in the palm of your hand, you part of this story, you part of this land.
It's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cow, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 Dugout.
And welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendrix. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Go ahead and make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up and follow on Spotify. And if you're on Spotify or Apple, go ahead and leave us a review. On Apple Podcasts, just scroll on down to the bottom, click write a review, and let us know what you are thinking. And on Spotify, just click leave a rating and leave us a star rating. That way we know whether you're enjoying the show or not. Big episode today as I'm talking to a couple of players as we're starting a series of, I believe, some of the most underrated players in the area, whether it's baseball, high school baseball, or high school softball. I got to talk to a couple of players that I believe had very, very solid seasons that I don't think were talked about enough. And we will keep that series going throughout summer as summer playing travel ball, but wanted to highlight some of the kids that I believe aren't getting all the recognition they deserve. And that doesn't necessarily mean they didn't get all conference nods or anything like that. I just think they had a big season that I think deserves to be talked about a little bit more than it has. And also, to start things off here in just a couple of moments, I'm going to be talking to Norwell's baseball coach, Christian Bojada, who I haven't got to talk to all season long. Finally got to catch up with him to talk a little regional baseball as well. As the Norwell Knights are rolling, they got Delta, a team they beat in the regular season. They get a rematch with them in regionals to see if they can advance. Before we get into the baseball, I wanted to give some love to the softball side as we got softball semi-state going on this weekend. And of course, before we even get into that, Taylor Danley of Carroll High School has been announced as a Miss Softball finalist for the state of Indiana with their .29 ERA, which is 19th in the nation. 17-1 on the season on the mound, by the way, and has struck out, count them, 237 batters. 237 strikeouts on the season. Only one home run given up all year, which is a big reason why Taylor Danley is a finalist for Miss Softball for the state of Indiana. But you got semi-state girls action. In 4A, we have Carroll. In 3A, we have East Noble. In 2A, we have Central Noble. And in 1A, we got Southwood. So teams all across the board. And on the boys' side for regionals in Class 4A, you got Snyder and Huntington North. Class 3A, you got Western and DeKalb. in the Logansport bracket. And in Oak Hill, you have Norwell and Delta. Class 2A at the Northwood bracket, you have Bremen and Bluffton. And also in Class 2A, Logansport, Hebron, and Lakeland. All teams representing the Fort Wayne area coming up in the postseason tournament for high school baseball. So let's go ahead and dig into one of the teams playing ball this weekend to advance in the regional brackets, and that is with Norwell coach Christian Bojada. So as we continue our coverage here on the 260 Dugout Podcast, as we get ready for regionals, a team that I haven't got to talk to all season. Got to talk to a couple of players as they were nominated for the Dick Crumback High School Player of the Year. They were finalists for that award. The winner has already been announced for that, but was able to talk to a couple of guys that were up for the award, from Norwell, Noah Shamerlow. And of course, you know, we gotta talk about the young man. I wanted to talk with you as well, because Noah Clark and Caden Castle and Noah Shamerlow getting all this love. And I posted this on the Instagram account, the 260 Dugout, as we bring in Coach Christian Bojada of the Norwell Knights. Yep. I'm starting off with one of the biggest consensus I got as a reply of the most underrated player in the area. We're going to start there as Will Case. Would you agree that he is an underrated player in the Northeast Indiana area?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's been our leadoff hitter all year. He's anchored down the middle with Caden there, and he will play second base. And yeah, I don't think that kid ever has a bad game. He's kind of that screw it player that, you know, it doesn't matter if he has a bad at bat or a good at bat. You know, he's just kind of even keel. And yeah, he's been a leader for us. I think a lot of guys see the way he plays, the way he handles himself. And he's definitely put the work in to get to where he's at. I think this year, especially, his stats have proven that. And there's a reason that he's, you know, in the leadoff spot in our lineup, because, man, I can just depend on him to either work a good at bat or find a way on base.
So, Coach, we got a lot to catch up on. I've got to see you a couple times this season, but obviously, it's felt like a long season, but at the same time, kind of quick.
Oh, it always goes fast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it felt like it's been a while since the season started, but at the same time,
yeah,
it also feels like, dang, like it feels like we just had media day.
Yeah. That's how I feel too. I just, we're nearing the end of year three here for me. And that's, crazy. Looking back, it's kind of unbelievable.
So looking at this season, as you know, you guys getting ready for regionals, but before we get into that, I want to just kind of recap this season. Just going back, because, you know, obviously the season started, feels like eons ago. Your first game was against Warsaw.
Yeah.
The first day of April, I believe.
Yeah.
Going back that far. So what are some games this season that you think have stood out? And I think one of them was one of the games I was at was DeKalb. But from your perspective, what are some of the games that have stood out that recognize and showcase Norwell Knights baseball? What do you think? What games this season do you think are your best measuring stick for the best that Norwell can play?
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously you look at conference games and you think that, you know, you always want to bring it for conference games, especially with the conference we're in the Northeast State and just how deep it is. And every Tuesday and Thursday night, you're out for a battle. It doesn't matter who you're facing. Honestly, to start the year against Warsaw, and that was a game that we had picked up late and played down in Kokomo at a really nice stadium. And that, you know, that started the year for us on a high note. We won that game pretty handily. And honestly, with graduating eight guys from a year ago and only having three seniors this year, I mean, I saw the potential and I knew that we'd be good on the mound and defensively, but offensively, you know, there was some question marks. The Logansport doubleheader, I thought, was kind of a turning point for us. We were able to win 2 1-run games there. And that, I thought we played some really good baseball that day. And just to be able to win 1-run games, you know, in high school and just be able to compete when the pressure's on, that's all we ask of our guys. The Leo game at Parkview Field, I thought was played really well by us. We executed at a high level that game, and that, you know, it's kind of on a bigger stage, and you know, we were blessed to be able to play there. And
yeah,
man, they just Yeah, I just felt like our guys, we really brought it. You know, we were able to bring some younger guys up from JV, and they were able to experience that as well. And you know, they brought energy to the dugout, and you know, our starting nine, and they just fed off that. You know, we play Homestead, and we ended up playing Carroll twice. You know, we added a game late with them, ended up getting them once, and I thought that was a really good win for us. That closed out our season, and that kind of helped us propel us into, you know, postseason play. Because we had lost to them earlier in the year, and we felt like we had beaten ourselves, and it was kind of one inning, and that's kind of been the definition of our season. If you look at a lot of our losses, it's kind of been one inning where we just kind of lose focus or don't make the plays that we need to make. And that's what's lost us the games. But we're fortunate enough to not have that one inning here in the past couple games and sectionals and beat a couple good teams.
Yeah, one of the biggest strengths that I would describe Norwell baseball, at least this season, is you guys can hit the freaking ball. I mean, you got I mean, I looked earlier this morning, just doing a little research, you know, after everybody's telling me that Will Case is underrated. I'm looking at your team and you got four guys that have had over 100 plate appearances. And of all four of those players, they all hit over 370 this year, which is crazy.
And that's huge. And that's our top four guys. And you look at a guy like Trey Privet, who's you know, really, really bought into the role as our catcher, and he ended up getting second team all conference, which I think was well deserved. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he bats in our four hole, but he's not your typical four hole guy. I mean, he's not necessarily going to be hitting it over the fence every time, but man, he can, I mean, in our sectional championship game, he just lays down a bunt and that kind of changes the game. And, you know, it's not, a lot of teams don't really expect that from the four hole, but you know, he's a guy that's versatile, and you know, a lot of his hits have came from that. I'd say offensively, yeah, I've been surprised this year, and in a good way. And we worked really hard in the off season, and you know, we were breaking down swings, and I'd say this year more than most, we worked really hard on, you know, hitting velo and shortening up swings. And Cause you know, a lot of guys nowadays, they get into high school and there's just, the swings are so long and you have a launch angle and all this, and that just, it just doesn't work. And, so we've been breaking those swings down, and yeah, kudos to our, you know, all my coaches and, to our players for being coachable. And yeah, a lot of guys are bought in, and offensively, yeah, I feel really good about where we're at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely been working at the plate. And then on the other side, I even got this name a couple of times as underrated, Dylan Chisholm, who, I mean, on the mound, I would argue is one of the best in the area. And I don't feel like it's been talked about enough. And a kid, I think he's only a sophomore. Maybe that's part of the issue, but it doesn't, age doesn't matter. Year doesn't, class doesn't matter. Yeah. You got a 1.16 ERA, 5-2 record on a team in a program like Norwell. I feel like you deserve a little bit more recognition. But Shamerlow's been nice. Talk about some of the pitching that you've had this year as well.
Yeah, we're blessed with really two number ones in Shamerlow and Chisholm. And I mean, you can even throw Castle in the mix as a number one. And
yeah,
he really holds down that shortstop spot for us. So, you know, it's hard for us to get him innings there. But yeah, I mean, Shamerlow and Chisholm, I mean, and I think they're about an inning apart on innings thrown this year. And man, they go out and compete. And it's two totally different styles, which is nice. Cause you know, you get to, you know, this weekend in regional and you only have to play one game, and it doesn't matter who we start and who we bring in after them. They're seeing two totally different pitchers, but two pitchers that'll just go out there and flat out compete. You know, we see Chisholm as more of our velo guy, and man, as a sophomore, you know, last year as a freshman, he had 30 innings for us, and it's paying dividends this year for him. And you know, just the varsity experience that he got, and I remember back to his freshman year, we were down at Logan Sport, and he loaded the bases. We were up one. He loaded the bases with nobody out, and ends up striking the next three guys out, and that was his first varsity outing. And we're like, okay, yeah. We got something with him. So yeah, he just goes out and competes. And I got to give a lot of that kudos to our pitching coach, Coach Hunter. Man, he works with these guys, you know, as soon as we get them in January or December, whenever we get them. And just from then on, our pitchers are totally bought into his philosophy. And a lot of guys are teaching velo nowadays, but man, his philosophy is if you can command the zone, you can throw multiple pitches for strikes, especially at the high school level, you can get a lot of outs. And our guys are totally bought into that. And yeah, Carter Costello is him and Josh McBride both. Those are both sophomores that they played JV the whole year. And we brought up Josh a couple games before the end of the regular season. We kind of had a question mark at the first base spot, and he had been playing well. And man, he's really ran with it and taken advantage of it. Carter Costello is a kid that, you know, we got an at bat or two in the New Haven game or in the semifinal, and you know, he was swinging it well. He swung it well in JV all year, and just thought that we'd give him an opportunity in the championship game. And he flies around in the outfield and makes a lot of plays. And, you know, really, I just think that, you know, that shows our younger guys, and that just shows us as a program, like, how deep we really are. And that just shows our younger guys, like, look, this, I mean, at any moment, like, your name can be called, and just stay ready.
So next up, you know who you got next. And this is a team that you're familiar with. Played them earlier this year, correct?
Yep.
And I mean, not trying to, and you had Belmont earlier this year, obviously, as well. So two teams you're familiar with that obviously ended up, you know, in 10-run victories. So how do you get this group of guys ready to go for this big game and this big matchup in regionals and not look past the opponent, because Delta is no slouch either. But how do you get the guys ready for this game?
Yeah, a lot of that is just kind of bringing up the past. A couple of years ago, we had 10-run Mississinawa. Actually, I think we beat them 14-1 in the regular season. And a couple of years ago, they came back and they got us in the sectional championship. So a lot of that's just kind of bringing up the past and like, look, guys, anything can happen on any given day. And, you know, we just got to go out and play our game. We just have to keep executing at a high level, playing well defensively and, you know, making the routine plays. And, we're going to see a different Delta team than we saw earlier in the year. I don't think they threw their number one or two at us. So it'll be a different game. But I'm still confident in our team. And I mean, we're rolling. I feel like we're rolling right now. We're, like I said, we're executing at a high level right now. And it, you know, it doesn't matter if I ask a guy to lay a bunt down or steal a bag or a hit and run or whatever. I mean, these guys are totally bought into what we're coaching them up to do. And, yeah, we're just going to have to continue that on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it. So Oak Hill is the regional host for you. You ever been to Oak Hill? Yep. Describe the vibe out of Oak Hill.
Oak Hill's a tremendous host. We've been there quite a bit. Luckily, as I was the JV coaches, we were having a lot of success there, 21 through 23 and or 24. And they were the host site for us a lot. And you know, they're all turf, so that helps. I know there's a little bit of weather supposedly coming Saturday, so that, you know, that kind of eases some of that.
Of course, and there is.
Yeah, exactly. It's Indiana. But yeah, and I think they have the stands, the environment that they have and they set up to host a regional and to host a semi-state, and they do a great job down there. And luckily our guys are, some of our older guys are familiar with it. Some of the younger guys may not be, but I just think where they're at and how they're set up, it's a beautiful place to play. And you know, with it being turf, that always helps.
I'm looking forward to it, Coach. Not only do you have the city of Ossian behind you, but you also got the city of Fort Wayne over here too. That's not too far. And everybody that's a supporter of the 260 Dugout Podcast, we cheer for everyone in the Fort Wayne area, and you guys are still playing ball and rolling right now. So you know how I feel. You know, I'm ready to see, you know, what the rest of the season progresses. I know you got Delta coming up next. I don't want to look any further ahead than that because I don't want to jinx anything.
Yes,
so
sir.
For now, let's just focus on that. Get the dub, and good luck the rest of the way, Coach. It felt good to finally catch up with you. I didn't get to talk to you at Media Day, and been trying to catch up with you all season.
Yeah.
Things just didn't work out. So
yeah.
I stole a couple of your players in the meantime to help get my Norwell fix and finally got to talk to you today. So thanks for coming on, Coach.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And thanks again for all you do.
Thanks, Coach. Take care and good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it. Thanks, sir.
Ready for the next level? At GSP, we build faster, stronger, and more explosive athletes while developing elite baseball and softball hitters. If you're serious about standing out, it's time to train at GSP.
Always appreciate the support and, of course, appreciate all of our sponsors, GSP Hitting, Old Ford Baseball Company, and McMahon's Best One Auto. Also appreciate you, the listeners, as you have made this season and this year such a success. So many downloads, so many shares, so many episodes, so many new followers. I couldn't do this show without all the support. So appreciate everyone before we get started today. So the theme of this week's episode is appreciation. That's why I start with so much appreciation to begin this episode, because, you know, all of the conference, you know, first team, second team honorable mentions and all of that have been announced. The Dick Crumback Player of the Year, Trey Deckman, has been announced as well. Shout out to him. Congrats to him in Columbia City as the program. But with all this recognition and all this talk, there's a few players that I'm going to be joined by today that I think are slipping through the cracks a little bit in terms of being extremely underrated players and their success this season. So we're going to go ahead and get into that with a few players. First up, we're going to go over to Heritage and talk to Lucas Taylor, who I believe is one of the most underrated prospects that we have in the area. Lucas, thank you so much for joining.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, yeah. So let's start there. I mean, before we even get into the logistics and your statistics from this season, is that something that you would agree with? Do you think you're kind of overlooked or underrated after this season?
Oh, yeah, for sure. At this season, yeah.
So looking at some of your stats, you got this graphic and you hit 543. That was your average this year?
Yes, it was.
543 average, 86 plate appearances, 38 hits. I mean, 30 RBIs, 628 on base percentage, 929 slugging percentage.
Putting that work in, like every single day of the offseason really helped me. And then the coaches believing in me really helped me to get, like, have confidence in myself to go up there and take my best swing.
And talk a little bit about this season. I mean, how'd you guys do? Like I said, you made it to the second round of sectionals and ran into Belmont, but a pretty successful season. What does it mean to you playing for a program and playing for a coach like Lehrman as well?
It's awesome. I was kind of sad that he was retiring before my last year, but it was awesome playing for him and then having his leadership and then all his knowledge that he's taught me. It's been great.
Yeah, what are some of your favorite memories playing for him? I know he's a legendary coach that is in the Hall of Fame, which rightfully so. What are some of your favorite memories with Coach?
Just him being funny. Like, he would shag baseballs without even having a glove on, playing third base. It's crazy. And then my freshman year, we back-to-back-to-back sectional titles. That's awesome. So, those are some great memories I've had with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good stuff. And, you know, so you just got done wrapping up your junior season. So when exactly did you start playing ball?
I started probably when I was like 10 or 11, backyard leagues, like Monroeville, Hoagland area.
Okay. When did you get into the travel ball circuit?
Probably 13U, 14U. I was actually about to quit baseball back in like 12U, 13U. But then one of my teammates that goes to Heritage now is a third baseman, Elijah Rauner, actually played for the Sluggers, and they needed a player to sub. So I subbed for a weekend for them. And then I hit like four doubles that weekend. So then Austin Snyder had me on a team for 14U, and I've been there ever since.
Nice. That's how my son got started too. He subbed for a team, and then just all the rest is history. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's like almost like an audition. You know, it's almost like being an actor or actress and auditioning. So that's awesome. I mean, and you're, you know, so before we get started on what you're doing this summer, what do you think your biggest strengths as a ball player are? Do you think it's at the plate? Do you think maybe defensively? What do you think your strengths are as a ball player?
Definitely my speed and range in the outfield. And then definitely my approach in the box and like that mindset of a being passive aggressive and having like a swing, like having my taking my A swing like almost every time.
I love it. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. So, you know, the season didn't go, you know, the way that you guys probably wanted, ran into Belmont in the second round sectional, still a good season. But what were some of the things that you learned from this season? What are some things you're going to be working on this summer to prepare for that senior season?
Definitely hitting off speed. And then as a team, not taking teams lightly. Like, we would play down to their level instead of our own level. That's what I feel like we had to struggle with.
Yeah, they call them trap games, and they have them a lot. You know, you kind of underestimate your opponent. And baseball, it's easy to do. It only takes – I mean, I wouldn't even say it takes an inning. I'd say it only takes one pitch, really, in the game of baseball to change the landscape of a game to kind of take you out of it. So, yeah, that definitely is some good advice for other teams as well. Don't underestimate your opponent, because in baseball, any given day, somebody can be beaten. That's why the games are played. Just last week, I mean, it was pretty much a consensus that everybody at Homestead won in the sectional. And Huntington North Vikings said, nah, don't think so. Not in here. So, like I said, any given day, the game needs to be played. A lot of people had Carroll winning their sectional over Snyder because Snyder lost too much. Well, the game still needs to be played. Snyder wins. So, any given day, that's another team to learn from today if you're listening. So never play down to your opponent. That's good advice from Lucas as well. So I assume right now you're getting ready for the summer with the Summit City Sluggers. So what's your schedule looking like for the next couple of weeks as you prepare for summer ball?
Mostly cage work and lifting. And then I think next Thursday we go down to Columbus, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio for PBR.
Nice. So a couple of tournaments, and you guys play pretty much through the end of July, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. Keep working on that. Keep working on that game. Keep working on those off-speed pitches. And before you know it, you won't be underrated anymore, young man. You had a great season still. Hold your head high. I believe after this season, and hopefully this helps a little bit. You know, you sound very, very well grounded mentally, which is very important for the game of baseball more than anything, really. Got to have the mental approach, and it sounds like you have it. But hopefully you're not underrated after this season and this offseason going into your senior season. Keep working on things, and thank you so much for talking to me today.
No problem.
All right, thanks, Lucas. Take care, okay?
Yep, you too.
Baseball in Fort Wayne isn't just a game. It's history. From sandlots to stadium lights, the stories of this city live on through the teams, the players, and the fans who never left. That's what we're building at Old Fort Baseball Co. Apparel inspired by Fort Wayne's past, designed for right now. Whether you grew up at the ballpark or you're just finding your love for the game, this is your city. This is your team. Shop the collection at oldfortbaseballco.com.
Continuing the episode here, as we are talking some of the most underrated players in Northeast Indiana this season, we're breaking records now. In 260 Dugout history, we are joined by the youngest guest to ever join us on the 260 Dugout podcast. Just wrapping up his freshman season with the Southside Archers, my alma mater, we have Jeremiah Sandoval. What's going on, young man?
What's going on? I'm honored to be the youngest, man.
Let's go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming on. And, you know, it means a lot to be considered underrated as a freshman. Sounds crazy, right?
Yeah, it definitely does.
So, obviously, you got, you know, just talk about this past season. You know, you guys, you know, you did win 10 games, which for Southside program is actually a step up. You guys did pretty good this year. Got to watch you guys a couple of times competing. Watched you guys almost beat Bishop Dwinger, which was crazy. We're leading late in that game. So, I mean, tons of great moments in a great season. But how would you recap this year as a team?
I thought as a team, I thought we did pretty well. I mean, we had our ups and downs, but we're mostly a young team, only graduating three. But the three that we will be missing, I mean, those are going to be some big spots to fill. And I got my brother in center field, pretty good defensively. We got Kaysen, versatile. Cam, he was a really good bat this year, hit a couple bombs, you know. So we got a couple of good spots to fill, but overall through the season, I think we did pretty well, especially for a Southside team. Like, I don't want to use that as like a, like almost like an alibi, but I mean, I think we did really well. We competed with some teams that people said we shouldn't have competed with. And I just love trying to change the narrative of, you know, Southside sports and try to bring it back to where it used to be. So for sure, I think we did pretty well in the season.
I love it. Yeah, on my way out, I was a senior, and then coming in as a freshman, we had this freshman class that was crazy. Will Corson Carr, Evan Van Sumeren, and Jordan Joyner were joining the team as I was leaving, and helped help Southside do a little damage after I left. So I think you guys are starting to get back to that.
Yeah, that's the goal, man. We try to look up to them. You know, those are some milestones, you know, some people that we look up to in this Southside Hall of Fame. So we're trying to get back to those glory days.
Yeah, so let's get to know you. What positions do you play for the audience in case they haven't got to see you? And what are your strengths as a ball player? What do you think you're best at?
So I play outfield, but I do play middle infield. But for Southside, I was basically playing all around. I think the only positions I didn't end up playing was first and catcher. So, I mean, I could play everywhere. I'm pretty versatile. I would say my biggest strength is my athleticism. Helps with my speed on base. Definitely say my competitiveness. So I definitely can compete at any position. I can give it my all when it comes down to it and just make plays here and there. So I would say that's some of my strengths right there.
Yeah, one thing you didn't mention though was pitcher. Is that not one of your strengths? how long you been pitching?
I've been pitching a lot here and there, but recently it's the most I've pitched in a long time. I'm more of a mid reliever for my travel ball, but coming into high school, I was used more as a starter, which I was with some bigger roles to fill, you know, pitching against some better teams. I'm not used to this, you know, especially definitely pitching against a grown man. It's a lot different, but I would say, yeah, I thought I did pretty well on the mound for my first year. So, but definitely some things to still work on.
This makes you even more underrated. So this season at Southside was your first year on the mound, correct?
Starting, yeah. I normally just more of a mid reliever for like travel and all that. But
yeah, I mean, so all right. Before we even move into that, because you just opened up a whole nother conversation. So what travel ball team do you play for during the summer?
For the summer, I just joined this team, playing the Jacks. You know, we got a game tomorrow. Summer ball starts, but yeah, I play for the Jacks right now.
I love it. That's a good organization. I always support the Jacks. Definitely love that organization. And as I mentioned on Twitter, we're going to be X, whatever you want to call it. It's still Twitter. We're going to be covering more travel ball throughout this summer to help open things up and just get out there more. I had a busy spring, but I want to be busy in the summertime too. So I'll be getting out, checking out some of these travel programs, mainly 14U up. Probably no younger than that, unless there's some crazy story, like a 12-year-old's throwing like 10 perfect games in a row or something, something crazy like that. But other than that, yeah, 14U and up is what I'll be checking out all summer. So you mentioned this was your first year starting on the mound, Jeremiah. And so look, when you go to the Southside stats, first of all, your first year starting, you led the team in ERA. Mm-hmm. With the 3.09 ERA, and it wasn't even close. Next close was your brother David, who you outperformed brother on the mound, man. I gotta say that.
Yeah.
You also led the team in on base percentage as a freshman. You were tied for the lead in stolen bases with Don Peterson, who will be back next season as well. Mm-hmm. Runs scored. You were second on the team. You mentioned that you play at all. What do you think you're most overlooked at in terms of a ball player?
I feel like I'm most overlooked at. I feel like I didn't get touched the outfield. That's my main position. You know, I have had a whole bunch of upperclassmen, so hopefully y'all get to see me even my full capability out in the outfield. But for sure, pitching. I wish I got my ERA a little lower. Bad at against lures, that's about it. But for sure.
Yeah, so now that you've pretty much sustained yourself as pretty much moving forward, I mean, when you lead the team in ERA, that pretty much sustains that you are the ace, I mean, at this point. So, like, what are some things you're going to be working on now that you know that you can hold your own on the mound?
Definitely getting the arm strength up, for sure. You know, going into the season, I knew I was going to be used, but I didn't know how much I was going to be used, I'm not going to lie, because I thought we were going to rely on some of our other upperclassmen more. I'm not saying that we didn't, but for sure, not being a freshman anymore, I definitely have to get more in the weight room, try to get stronger, faster. You know, still competing with people who are at least 3 years older than me, so definitely trying to just get my arm strength up, getting the accuracy more down, just so I can go longer and so my team can depend on me more, for sure.
I love it. And so at the plate, you know, as I mentioned, you were a freshman, so at the plate, you might have had some struggles this year. What are you working on at the plate? What are you working on at the plate to enhance that?
Definitely just more of a not second guessing myself. I definitely, you know, sometimes you get a little starstruck going against some of these bigger teams and seeing some velo you haven't seen before. But I try to work a lot more walks. But towards the end of the season, I was starting to see the ball a little bit better, which didn't really see a lot of results. But some hard hit balls, line outs here and there. So I'll take that. But definitely going to the next season, trying to get used to the speed of the game, for sure. So I'm definitely work on that in the off season with the Summer Bowl.
I love it. Yeah, it's always I have always imagined how tough it would be being coming in as a freshman, going from seeing kids throwing like 70s to some kids throwing 90s, and it's like as a freshman, I imagine that's pretty tough to adjust to. Not everyone throws 90s, but there's some teams that have a couple of guys that can sling it. Like Homestead's got a couple, I know.
Yeah,
they're in that 90s area. Who else in the SAC? I know Dwinger might have a couple as well.
Yeah,
that's throwing up there. So Huntington North, that you guys seen in the tournament, I already know how they get down. There's a reason they're playing. in regionals. So, man. Yeah, a lot of competition that you faced this year, and it's got you ready, man. I am so excited for what you got coming up and this summer. I'm gonna have to check out your schedule. Send me your schedule if you can.
I
can come check you out this summer as well and support you there. Supported you guys throughout this season. I tried not to show too much Archer bias, but I did show up a few times to support you guys. So keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to seeing what you got coming up, man. Keep working.
Sir, man, thank you. You know, we bleed green over here, so south on top, you know. So thank you, man. Thank you for the opportunity.
You want to give anybody a shout-out before we get out of here?
Hey, shout-out to my boys at Huntington and Blackhawk Christian, because I got some teammates over there. You know, basically everyone on that Jags team, really. I mean, we really got a lot of underclassmen. I think they're going to be big names, not even in the city, but definitely in the state. You know, we got Cooper Hoodie over there in Huntington, and we got Byron and Carson at Blackhawk Christian. They're going on their regional runs, and hopefully they do. I mean, hopefully they bring it to state, man. It'd be nice to use them in summer, but, I mean, later we can. But for sure, shout-out to all my teammates out there. So, yeah.
I love it. Jeremiah, thank you so much for coming on, man. I look forward to seeing you this summer. Keep grinding.
Thank you.
All right, see you.